To whom is this gospel addressed? Well, to whom are the words of Jesus in this gospel addressed? Jan, you know I don't like that answer. You're not wrong. We'll get there. All right, getting closer. Well, not necessarily closer from us, but anyway. Not the Pharisees, though, not this time. It's kind of hard if you don't have it right in front of you or if you weren't taking notes as you listened. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So it's to the 12. It's to the apostles. This is to whom he is speaking. Jesus is saying, this is the work. And for them, this has a very particular meaning. To go out and work in the field would mean, or to tend the sheep, would have this direct sense of either you're being a shepherd to the sheep, or you are preaching the word. You're sowing the seed of the gospel. You're preaching the word, you're out there, or you're tending the sheep. You're helping these souls who need guidance get the guidance they need, the help that they need. So you come in from doing that. He's talking to the 12 again. You come in from doing that. Don't expect everybody else here at like base camp, I want to say, something like all of the other disciples. There were more than 12 disciples. There were probably over 100 who would follow Jesus around, or when they could, they would be with him or help his ministry, help the apostles. And one of the things that he's saying to them is, as apostles, you as leaders, you, when you get done going out and doing the work, when you come in, be ready to serve one another and be ready to serve the rest of the disciples and be ready to serve anybody else who needs service. When you come in from the field, does the master say, take your place while I wait on you? No. In fact, actually, this is... come in here immediately. Does the master say, come and take your place at table? The implication is Jesus is saying no. Would not the master probably say this, Jesus tells us. Prepare something for me to eat. Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I am finished. Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? The implication is no. No, he's not. So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do. Now, this is not to be taken as Jesus isn't grateful for how we're serving him or serving the least of these. No, by no means. But this should be taken as when you get done with a long day of work, of service to God's kingdom, be ready to come home and do some more work and service to God's kingdom. Especially if you are an apostle, a leader, somebody who has this charge over them of setting the example of Jesus Christ to the rest of the body. And so I don't know what's the occasion. We don't know what the exact occasion of this gospel is, but it could be something like that would rise up in the disciples in their hearts that Jesus can see or in their words that he can hear, where they want to come in from a long day of doing God's work and kick their feet up and have other people wait on them and serve them and be at their beck and call. But you know that's not what Jesus is about. And he's letting them know that's not what we're about as leaders, because Jesus is a servant leader. You know, he washes feet, it's not just a one-time thing. It's part of who and what he is doing, who and what he is. So now that's for the apostles. Now what does that have to do with us? Well, we're not the successors of the apostles. As far as I know, no one here is a bishop. But what does the word apostle mean? Does anybody know? Do you know? What's so funny? Oh, you know, but you forgot. Okay. As long as there's nothing on my face, then good. One who is sent. One who is sent. So at the end of Mass, go and announce the gospel of the Lord. Go forth in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. We are sent forth out of this place. As it were, we go up to the mountain of God at the Eucharist, mountaintop experience. And even if we don't subjectively feel that or experience that, it is objectively the mountaintop of our week or of our day. And we're then sent back down into the valley to go and to sow the seeds of the word of the kingdom of God, preach the word, give witness to God in our lives. You are sent forth from here to go to work and to witness to who Jesus is at work, to witness to your marriage and God's plan for marriage, to witness to forgiveness and the Lord's forgiveness for us by the way that you forgive your coworkers. Lots of opportunity for that. And the way that you bear wrongs patiently by the way that you relate to your boss. Lots of opportunities for that. You are sent forth, especially as laity. You go forth not only to evangelize and bring the good news, but also to bring everything in the temporal realm under the lordship of Jesus Christ, to bring justice, to bring right order to the world. And that's where you go out and you sow the seeds. Now, not everybody goes to work. Some people, your work is maybe in the home all day long. Some of you, your work is with family a lot of the day. Maybe you do a lot of your work over the phone or and just in different spheres. But if you do, I think it's really easy to relate to if you go off to work and then you come home every day. When you come home every day, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you come in, kick up your feet and have your wife get you a beer." Sorry, nope, sorry. Not what it says. Right? That's not what it says. That's the opposite. That's the diametric, that's diametrically opposed to what Jesus is saying. When you get home, you've got your husband and kids, your wife and kids. It's probably your wife and kids. But maybe both of you work. Wait on them, serve them, attend to their needs, be ready to work. Now, this means you have to be a little bit intentional about that drive home, don't you? It's not enough to listen to 97.1 on the way home. You got to be praying a rosary. Like, you just came from a long day of bearing wrongs patiently, and now you're going home where you might need to bear wrongs patiently, but you definitely need to serve. It's a little bit easier to serve your family a lot of the time. Sometimes it's even harder. Probably depends on the day or the week or the month or whatever. How can we do this? Well, first of all, we need to acknowledge that this is what Jesus sends us forth from this Mass to do. And he sends us forth with the grace to do it through the Eucharist. And then we have to decide, am I, in a lesser sense of the word, am I an apostle? Am I one who is sent? Am I a disciple? Am I a follower of Jesus? Because he's not saying this to the Pharisees. He's not saying this to the crowds. He's only saying this to the disciples. Are you one of them? If so, when you come in from a long day of trying to build God's kingdom and trying to honor him, come home ready to serve. And maybe it's not coming home. Maybe it's just there's another chapter in your day or in your week. Be ready to serve. Be ready to do the next thing. When we hear in the second reading, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. What is your share in the hardship? What is your share of hardship for the gospel? Maybe it's opposition. Maybe it's mockery. Maybe it's people do not like your Catholic faith. Maybe it's simply the toil of, you know, just the everyday life of loving your family and serving them. But bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. And so it's good that you're here. It's good that we are all here, because the strength that comes from God, nothing is more important in that realm than the Eucharist. And then we go forth. We're sent forth to bring God's kingdom into the world. The Lord is instilling in us not a sense that you can never rest, but more of a sense that we find actually greater rest and peace in and through our labors with the Lord and building his kingdom. Dr. Henry Russell, a professor that I had in college, said it like this: you can rest in heaven. He said that because he gave us so much work that we were probably going to go to heaven soon, and if we tried to do it all. But that has always stuck with me, that yes, we rest on the Sunday, this is the Sabbath, right? But there's a sense in which we can get too complacent, and the Lord is really directly addressing that. He doesn't want us to just kick back and relax all the time. He wants us to hear these words that he said himself, and maybe be able to say them, and definitely be able to say them for ourselves. When Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of my Father," he was giving something for us to understand that there's a sense in which we have this great need and desire in our souls to serve God and obey his commandments and build up his kingdom, and it feeds our souls. And when we come in from working, the Lord is ready. It's a long day. You just want to kick up your feet. But your children need you to be present to them. Emotionally present to them. God is giving you the strength to do that. And our food is to do the will of our Father in heaven.